All right. Good evening to you all. Welcome to the service. I hope you all can already see that it's going to be a special time tonight here at First Baptist Church, celebrating our graduates, blessing them, praying for them as they begin the next chapter of their life. So I'm excited to see what happens there. My name is Ryan Wicker. I'm Associate Pastor of Education here at the church, and I just wanted to welcome you. Thank you for being here. I know that there's probably several visitors and guests here tonight with their families, and so you are welcome. At this time, I'd just like to ask everybody to stand, and let's greet those that are standing around us tonight.
Seated. If you guys will go ahead and stand up with us in reverence to our Lord as we praise Him.
We live. Hey, I'm Leslie Hudson, and I've had the privilege of being one of the Sunday school teachers for some of these seniors tonight, and this has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but I have been reflecting on them a lot lately. This is the 14th year that I've taught Sunday school for youth, and this class, these seniors, are some of the most spiritually mature, socially mature kids I have had the privilege of knowing in my 14 years, and I have seen not just the dedication to church, but a desire for God that is not normal. And so as I thought about what to say tonight, I've been through 10 different lessons in my head, and I thought, these kids know this stuff. Y'all already know it. You know so much. And so I challenged myself, what's one thing maybe they haven't heard me say, and they haven't heard someone else say, one thing. And so if I could give you one thing tonight, and I'm speaking just to the seniors, but if you all want to listen in too, that'd be great. One thing that I could give you would be this. And I feel like I need to look at y'all too. Give Jesus your early. Give Jesus your early. The one thing that has shaped my understanding of the Lord and my ability to hear him in my life is this one thing. Give Jesus your early. You remember the verse in Mark? Hang on, I have it written down. Where it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And we see this example set in Jesus our Lord, but we also hear it over and over in the Psalms, and the word early and morning and early and morning just keeps coming up. And as I started looking at this, I thought, it's something we all should be doing. Psalm 5:3 is the main verse that I came, and it says this. This is New King James. My voice, this is David talking to God. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. My voice. God hears our voice in the morning, not just in the morning, but David knows there's something about morning. God hears his voice. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning, I will direct it to you. And I will look up. May the first words out of your mouth in the morning be to God. There's nothing more day-changing than offering up your first words to the Lord. Now, as an asterisk for my own personal life, there's a cup of coffee that comes between those things too. But still, my first words are to the Lord. Couple of other verses that deal with that. Well, he says, in the morning, I will direct it to you and I will look up. What can we expect when we look up to the Lord in the morning? Lamentations 3:22-23 say, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. And y'all know what it says. They are new every morning. God's compassions. There's something about mourning and waking up and feeling his compassions renewed in our life again. Psalm 143:8 says this, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you I do trust. So when we wake up, when our first words are to the Lord, we hear his compassion, we know his loving kindness, and then Psalm 90:14 says, oh, satisfy us early with your mercy. We're satisfied. That word mercy makes me think of the prayer of the tax collector in the temple when he says, have mercy on me, a sinner. When we begin our day and our first words are to the Lord and we look up, as Psalm 5:3 says, we look up and we depend on him to get our day going and we depend on him to get us through the day, we know his mercy. We are satisfied before we ever step out the door. Satisfy us early with your mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. The secret of joy in your life is walking in the presence of the Lord. And so the secret to joy, not just for seniors, but for all of us, is giving the Lord our early. starting our day with Him, looking up, knowing who He is, and letting Him fill us first thing. Thank you.
All right, guys, I'm Ethan Sanders, if you don't know me. I'm a senior here, you can tell, graduating. But I just want to thank Tim, I don't even know where he's at, over there. Just thank you for, like, discipling me this last year, God, and just let me come up here and say a few words to the youth here. First off, I want to thank the church and what all y'all have did for us over the years, through all of our seniors, that you have blessed us in so many ways. And then for Pastor Mike, like, he just discipled us day in and day out, and those morning Bible studies, those are great. And I just want to thank y'all parents. Like, you know, sometimes the seniors don't want to say thank you, but thank you for everything that y'all did, even though, you know, we're stubborn and, you know, we don't want to thank you. But I just want to say that. And I'll be reading out a passage out of Mark 8 that says, starting in verse 34, and it says, "And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" See, in this passage, we see a few things. We see that there's three things that he tells us to come after him. It says, you must deny yourself, put Jesus first, take up your cross, whatever's hindering you from following Jesus, and then follow him. So you got to put away all your selfish ambitions, everything in this world, and take that up and take up your cross and follow him, so then you can truly follow him. And it just simply says that if we save our lives for our sake, we will lose it for eternity. But if we lose our life for the sake of the gospel and Jesus Christ, then we will be saved. And then the question is, it says, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? See, as I want to harp on these seniors as they go off to college, see, we could gain all the money we need, all the education and all the fame and popularity. But if we forget about Jesus Christ, then we lose everything. See, we could just die in hell and go to hell if we do not follow Jesus and live in obedience for him. See, why I'm so passionate about this is because we see this. Because the beauty of the gospel is that God has saved us. He has freed us from wrath and the penalty of sin. By sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be incarnate through flesh, to be the propitiation for our sins, that if we believe it wholeheartedly that he died upon the cross and that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. And so, God, so these seniors, I just pray and I challenge you to live day in and day out in your scriptures. Miss Lily said, use your early hours to follow him. Your first words say, thank you, God, for getting me up. And lastly, I just want to say I'll be praying for each and every one of you as you go off into the new steps of life. I don't know if it's in the job force or you're going off to college or just living life. I just pray that you obey God's will and seek God's will for your life and just do not forget about the cross. Thank you for letting me come up here.
I'm going to be reading out of Romans 6, and I ask that you bear with me, because when I say I'm going to be reading out of Romans 6, it should be phrased, I'm going to be reading Romans 6. So please just bear with me through it. And if you don't mind, I'd like to pray for us all beforehand. Almighty God, who is the creator of all things good, thank you so much for bringing us as seniors to this point in our lives. May we realize that everything we have was a blessing of providence from your hand. That our parents, this church, your salvation, all that we have, because of your great love and your grace that is upon us. Lord, I pray that my words would honor you. Lord, please push me aside so that you may speak. I pray this in Jesus Christ's great name. If you'll give me another second. It was one page off. Here we are. Romans 6 reads, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. The life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of these things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." This is about 1:30 a.m. early this Friday morning. I was reading, couldn't go to sleep. Not sure why. Came here to Romans 6. And all of a sudden, all the plans that I had for tonight and the description of Jesus glorified in Revelation that I wanted to ponder over tonight was gone from my head. And all I could think of was our freedom in Christ. It really stuck out to me because I'm graduating. I have a car, I'm 18. I have more freedom than I have ever had. And all of us graduates do as well. We live in one of the freest countries where we can do whatever we want, almost. Of course, we are somewhat sensible and have laws. But we're still incredibly free. And I could sit here and focus on the freedom in Christ all night. But that would only be half of the picture. Because we are not just free. Those who are apart from Christ are also free. But, as verse 20 says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. To say that only Christians have freedom is a half-truth. And to say that Christians have only freedom is also a half-truth. And a half-truth is nothing more than a lie that's been dressed up. Those who are in the world are slaves to sin, but they are free in regard to their obedience to God. That is not to say that his anger is not still stirred up against them and that his wrath does not sit on them. However, they are not bound to be obedient to him. And we are free from sin. This chapter even says that we are now ashamed of the things that we did before we were in Christ. But even though we have freedom from sin, and even though we're about to go out and have all kinds of freedom away from our parents as we go off to school, we must remember this one thing. We are still slaves. But rejoice in that. Because we do not have a tyrannical master who wishes us harm as we once did when we were slaves to sin. Instead, now, we are welcomed in to our master's family. We are to be slaves of Christ, and we are to be obedient to him in every way, as it says in verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. This heart that is talking about is our affections, what we love. We love to serve Christ. For those of you who don't love to serve Christ, I fear for you. This Christian walk should not be one that is a burden. Yes, there will be burdens, but being obedient to God should not be one. Those in Christ love to serve him. And so I ask tonight, what are you a slave to? Who are you a slave to? And when you finally walk across a stage and get your diploma and go off to college and leave your parents, and you finally have the freedom that is adulthood, will you also have the freedom in Christ that is also to be slave to him? I ask this in love. And not to shame anyone. But it is a question that must be asked. Are you slave to Christ? Or are you a slave to sin?
If you'll stand with us, we're going to worship with two more songs. And I'm going to read out of Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fail. He lifts his voice to the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations has brought on this earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will exalt among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thy all in all. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Told me for you.
silence the most of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are ready.
Father, thank you for those who have spoken tonight. Thank you for all who have gathered here tonight. I praise you for bringing us to where we are now. I pray that as Tim charges us, that we will take what he has to say to heart, that we will take it and run with it, and that we'll be faithful servants for you all the days of our life. Thank you, Almighty God. I pray this in Jesus' name.
There we go. Church, I can't tell you how excited I am to present to you to this class, the class of 2017. These seniors are amazing. Over the past 2 years, as I have served here, these students have blown me away by their faith, their love, their leadership, and their passion to serve Christ. And it has been an honor and privilege to be their youth pastor. Graduates, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. And tonight I desire to share with you some final encouraging words from Scripture. And this is from Philippians, and I want to read this to you. So from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, it says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. From this passage, I would like for you to hear four truths that I believe will be of great encouragement to you as you make this transition in your life. First of all, the passage says, rejoice. Of course, this day and the days leading up to your graduation are certainly days of rejoicing. But remember where our joy is found. Our joy is found in the Lord. Every day we can find joy in Christ, no matter the circumstance and no matter what we face. We will always have joy because we have Christ. Therefore, remember to express your joy each and every day by rejoicing in your relationship with Christ. This is important because you will face difficult days. You will face hard obstacles to overcome, and there will be days when you feel like calling it quits. It's during those times when you need to remember these words, rejoice in the Lord. For Christ has given us peace and joy that transcends the problems and worries of this life. And when we come to rejoice, our focus turns from our problem to our great and awesome and powerful God, who is greater than any problem that we face. So I tell you this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say it, rejoice. Secondly, from this passage, it says, remember that the Lord is near. Now, the Lord is always near. He is always with us. Scripture teaches us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He travels with us even through those dark valleys of our life. Scripture also teaches that he is the friend that sticks closer to us than a brother, and he will always be with you. But in this particular verse, the nearness of the Lord is referring to Christ's return. He is coming back. And Paul is reminding us to live each day with the mindset that Christ's return is imminent. We must choose paths and make choices each day with this truth in mind, that Christ is coming. And we want to be found faithful to him. Thirdly, graduates, I want to remind you this from the scriptures. Do not fear about your future, for God has your future in his hands. Instead, as the verse has instructed us, present your requests to the Lord by prayer and petition, for God hears and will answer your prayers. I know that you may be uncertain about your future, where you will go, what your major will be, what job to pursue, and who you will marry. But remember this verse from Proverbs 16:9. It says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So seek the Lord first. Trust in him, and he will guide you as you walk through this life. And finally, as Paul stated to the Philippians, I say also to you, whatever you have learned, whatever you have received or heard from me, or seen in me, put it into practice. My prayer is that I have lived an example to you guys as what it means to follow Christ. And my prayer is that you have seen me, even in my high times and my low times, as a man who loves Christ and who is devoted to Christ. And just as Paul was instructing his followers, his churches, to imitate him, I'm asking you to do so with me, to remember those things that I've taught you, those things that I have given you each and every week as we met together, because they'll be so important for you as you walk in this life. I am so proud of you. Church, I do want to give you at this point in this time, this class. So class of 2017, if you will please stand and make your way to the stage. We are going to recognize you at this point.
Emily Beard. Emily is graduating from Dixon County High School. Emily played 2 years of soccer and 4 years of basketball for her school. She was also a member of Junior Civitan, FFA, and FCA. She is graduating with 9 years of perfect attendance, received several basketball awards, and meets the requirements to become a Tennessee Scholar. Emily will be attending Union University. Jacob Blaylock. Jacob is graduating from Dixon County High School. Jacob has been a member of the speech debate team, FCA, and the drama club. He plans to attend Boyce College and major in the science of biblical studies. Samantha Bullington. Samantha is graduating from Dixon County High School. Samantha is graduating in the top 10% of her class. She was voted best personality, was a member of the Beta Club, a recruitment officer for FCA, and was a choir section leader. Samantha will be attending Carson Newman University and plans to major in nursing. Brooke Deal. Brooke is graduating from Creekwood High School with distinction. Brooke was the HOSIS secretary, FCA president, Beta historian, and soccer captain. She was also involved in a clinical internship. She will be attending Tennessee Tech University this fall with intentions of majoring in nursing. Michaela Easley. Michaela is graduating from Dixon County High School. She is ranked in the top 10% of her class. She had honorable mention for girls' citizenship, faculty medalist in forensics. She was ranked second in the state for storytelling. Michaela was involved in forensics, speech and debate team, Beta Club, Educators Rising, Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America, National Society of High School Scholar, and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Michaela will be attending Welch College and majoring in early childhood education. Austin England. Austin is graduating from Dixon County High School. He is graduating sixth in his class and voted most likely to succeed. He is the president of the Skills Club at the high school, Beta Club, and Forensics. Austin will be attending the University of Alabama, Huntsville, and will be majoring in aerospace engineering. Aaliyah Gordon. Aaliyah is graduating from Creekwood High School. She received her EMR license, and she will be attending Tennessee College Applied Technology and will be majoring in cosmetology. Olivia Livy Horton. She is graduating from Dixon County High School. Olivia has been a member of the DCHS marching band for 5 years, beginning in her eighth grade year. She has completed 4 years in the junior ROTC program. She will begin her college education through Nashville State Community College, where she will be dual enrolled and then transition fully into Freed Hardeman to study nursing. Camden Kimberling. Camden is graduating from East Hickman High School. She was in yearbook, senior play, and Spanish club. Camden will be attending Columbia State University to study zoology. Hannah Louth. Hannah is graduating from Dixon County High School, and she will be graduating number 16 in her class out of 349 students. She was a member of Beta, HOSA, 4 years on the DCHS soccer team, and 2 years as captain of the soccer team. She was the all-star, the all-district soccer player for 3 years. Hannah is planning to attend Tennessee Tech and will be majoring in biology. Emily Metcalf. Emily is graduating from Home Life Academy. She has been in American Heritage Girls, PALS, which is a special needs bowling program, CARE, a homeschool co-op, and has been on the cross country and track teams with West Academy. She has served in the Good News Club and the Pigs puppet team at First Baptist Church. Emily will be attending Union University and plans to major in either special education and or elementary education. Julia O'Malley. Julia is graduating from Gateway Christian Academy. She will graduate with honors and has received the Tennessee Hope, Amy Person, and Leadership Scholarship. She has been active in organizing mission projects and is passionate about serving others. Julia is planning to attend Trevecca University and study pre-med, majoring in biology and minoring in chemistry. Ethan Sanders. Ethan is graduating from Lighthouse Christian Academy. He will be attending Boyce College at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and will be majoring in biblical and theological studies. Kyle Street. Kyle is graduating from Dixon County High School. He was voted most original. Kyle was involved in drama, forensics, and Anglophile Club. He will be attending MTSU and majoring in theater arts. Stephen Veach. Stephen is graduating from Creekwood High School. Stephen has been a member of the varsity baseball team for 4 years. He played football his freshman and senior year. He was a member of the golf team and HOSA. Stephen will be attending Carson Newman University and is planning to study athletic training or possibly physical education and exercise science with an emphasis in coaching and fitness.
We are going to take a time to pray over. I'm going to invite the parents and grandparents, if you would like to do as well, or any family member. We're going to come up here and we're going to surround our graduates, and we're going to pray over them. So I'm going to invite the parents to come and move at this time.